Welcome to HN Pod, your daily deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2026, and welcome to a milestone episode, number 420.
We have a packed show for you today covering yesterday's top stories from June 7th. We are talking about the existential dread of LLMs eroding software engineering careers, an incredible story of building a life from zero after prison, a plea to Anthropic for a Linux desktop app, the jaw-dropping winners of the 2025 Obfuscated C Code Contest, and a technical breakdown of why the project management app Linear feels so incredibly fast.
Let us start with the most upvoted story of the day, with over 850 points. A blog post titled, LLMs are eroding my software engineering career, and I do not know what to do.
Yeah, this one really struck a nerve. The author, who goes by Poison Fountain, has 10 years of experience, mostly in back-end systems for finance and payments. They wrote about how the three pillars of their expertise are just crumbling.
Right. The first pillar was domain-specific knowledge. Things like PCI compliance, double entry ledgers, and payment life cycles. They thought this was safe, but their company pushed them to use AI for design docs, and they realized that the current crop of models, like Claude 4.7 and GPT 5.5, can actually connect the dots on complex system architecture.
And the second pillar was debugging distributed systems. The author says that with the new agentic workflows and tools like the Datadog MCP, the models are literally one-shotting bugs across distributed systems that used to take them days to solve. Bizarre race conditions, edge cases, you name it.
Which leaves their third pillar, code quality and architecture. But as they point out, the industry seems to be reducing that to just having taste. And frankly, a lot of companies just do not care about pristine code organization anymore if the agents can just power through the mess. They feel like they're being turned into just another off-the-shelf generalist prompt jockey.
But the Hacker News comments pushed back hard on this, especially regarding that first pillar of domain knowledge. A user named Ian Danforth said there is no way they would agree to be at the helm of a finance product piloted by LLMs. They pointed out that when you step outside your deep expertise, you lose the ability to call BS on the agents, which are still frequently myopic and just outright dumb constantly.
Exactly. There was a fascinating comment from a burner account working in fintech on a regulated product. They have access to Mythos, which is supposedly the most bleeding-edge model available right now. Mythos confidently flagged part of their codebase as non-compliant with the specific regulation, warning of grave risk. But it was a complete hallucination. The Human Legal Counsel had already reviewed and approved it.
It really highlights the difference between writing code that compiles and writing code that complies with the law. Another commenter noted that compliance is actually a highly creative art. It requires understanding sectoral habits and unwritten joint understandings, not just reading rules literally like a robot or a junior IT person might do. So while the coding part might be getting automated, the liability and the nuanced interpretation of risk are still very much human jobs.
Moving from the future of our careers to a deeply human story about starting a career, we have a post from Gavin Ray titled Building from Zero After Addiction, Prison, and a Felony.
This was such a powerful read. Gavin spent his early teens, from 14 to 16, in a maximum security juvenile prison for selling prescription drugs. By 19, he had a low-class felony, and he struggled heavily with amphetamine addiction. He ended up homeless, sleeping on floors, working manual labor, and losing absolutely everything.
But while he was in county jail on a work release program, he saw a newspaper article about a tech company in Boulder called Tectonic that offered internships to at-risk youth. He walked into their office his first day out, asked for a job, and because he had taught himself some programming as a kid to make video game mods, they actually hired him as a web developer intern.
He did relapse again and lost that job, which led to his absolute rock bottom in Florida. His wife was biking an hour a day in the sweltering heat to install heavy appliances just to keep them afloat while he got sober and applied for hundreds of jobs. He kept getting offers rescinded because of corporate no-felon HR policies.
That part is so heartbreaking. But finally, a startup in Miami took a chance on him. And from there, he discovered Hisora, got deeply involved in open source, and completely turned his life around. He wrote this piece to show others lurking in tech with dark pasts that they are not alone.
The comments were incredibly supportive, and it brought out others with similar stories. A user named Mappas the Beans shared how they dropped out of school, rode freight trains, lived on the streets, and survived by shoplifting before finding their way into tech through an unpaid internship using a stolen laptop. Now they work in big tech,
own a home, and have a family.
It is a great reminder of how tech, and specifically open source, has historically been this amazing equalizer. If you can write good code and contribute to a project, the computer does not care about your background or your record. But it also highlights a systemic issue. Gavin had 8 job offers pulled because of blanket HR policies. If it were not for smaller startups willing to look at the actual human being, all that talent and potential would have been wasted.
Let us pivot to some engineering architecture. We had a great technical breakdown on the front page titled, "How is Linear so fast?"
Linear has basically become the gold standard for web app performance over the last few years. You click an issue and it updates in milliseconds, whereas a traditional CRUD app takes maybe 300 milliseconds just to show a loading spinner. The article breaks down their secret, which is fundamentally about inverting the traditional client-server relationship.
Right. Instead of the browser asking the server for data and waiting, Linear treats the browser as the database. They use indexed DB locally. When you update an issue, it updates in an in-memory MobX observable instantly, and the UI re-renders synchronously. Then a custom sync engine batches that transaction and flushes it to the server in the background.
The author points out that Tuames, one of Linear's co-founders, wrote the sync engine as literally the first lines of code for the startup. It is a massive upfront engineering investment that most startups do not make. But the payoff is zero loading spinners. You are never waiting on network latency.
The Hacker News comments got into a really interesting debate about physics versus architecture. A user named Jacob Gold pushed back on the premise, saying you don't necessarily need a complex local-first sync engine. They argued you can just locate your backend near your users and get 10 millisecond round trip times with traditional server-rendered apps.
But then Abood Man, who actually works on a sync engine called Zero, jumped in with a reality check about the speed of light. They pointed out that unless your users are all in one geographic location, it is impossible. Even if you put edge servers everywhere, your primary database still has to live somewhere. If your database is in US East and your user is in Asia, you're looking at 200 milliseconds minimum just for the data center to data center traffic.
Exactly. You either have quarter second commits for most users, or you embrace eventual consistency and local syncing. There is really no getting around the physics of the internet. It is cool to see more tools like Zero and Replicache making this architecture accessible, so you do not have to build it from scratch like Linear did.
Speaking of desktop experiences, our next story is a highly upvoted GitHub issue on the Anthropic repository. The title is simple: Anthropic, please ship an official Claude desktop for Linux.
This is a classic developer ecosystem struggle. Anthropic currently only ships Claude desktop for Mac and Windows, but Claude Code, their command line tool, runs natively on Linux. And the kicker is that the Cowork agent feature on Mac actually boots a custom Ubuntu Linux virtual machine under the hood to run the code. So the Linux capability is literally already inside the product.
The issue author points out that because there is no official Linux app, developers are relying on third-party repackages of the Windows Electron build. And since Claude handles API keys, OAuth tokens, and has local file system access, entrusting that to an unaudited third-party repo is a massive structural security risk.
The maintainer of the most popular unofficial Debian build, a user named A. Adric, actually chimed in on the Hacker News thread, and they gave a masterclass on why companies avoid Linux desktop support. They said the main reason is fragmentation. If you are doing anything more complex than rendering a web page, it gets complicated fast.
Yeah, they mentioned the nightmare of keyboard shortcuts and system tray icons. X11 is mostly fine, but the Linux world is moving to Wayland. Wayland does not have native global shortcuts, so it relies on portals, and every desktop environment implements them differently. GNOME does not even have a system tray out of the box, and there's no standard for light or dark mode tray icons across distributions.
Another commenter, Ornithus, shared their PTSD from trying to support a Linux client at a past company. You tested on a couple of recent Ubuntu releases, think you are good, and suddenly you are flooded with angry tickets from vocal users running obscure distributions on 13-year-old ThinkPads. It ends up taking massive engineering resources for a tiny fraction of the user base. So while we all want an official Claude app for Linux, you can kind of see why Anthropic is dragging their feet.
Let us wrap up today with something purely for the joy of hacking. The winners of the 29th International Obfuscated C Code Contest, or IOOCC, for 2025 have been announced.
This contest is legendary, and it recently came back from a 4-year hiatus. If you are not familiar, the goal is to write the most obscure, incomprehensible, but working C code possible, usually within strict size limits.
The quality this year was off the charts. We saw a hat trick of hat tricks, meaning three different authors, Yusuke Endo, Nick Craigwood, and Don Yang, each one with three separate entries.
The absolute standout, which had the comments going crazy, was Nick Craigwood's Game Boy emulator. He managed to write a fully functioning Game Boy emulator, including the Z80 processor, in under 2,503 characters of code.
And that is not even the best part. The source code itself is visually formatted to look exactly like a Nintendo Game Boy.
It is insane. In the comments, Nick explained that he originally wrote the emulator in about 6,000 characters and then spent over 100 hours squashing it down. He had to strip out features that the game Tetris did not need, and he admitted to abusing the C language terribly with implicit integers. He even reverse-engineered the contest's own size-checking program to find loopholes, like discovering that certain operators defined in a specific header file only count as one token.
That is the ultimate hacker spirit. He even had to write his own games to bundle with it, including a 3D tic-tac-toe and a chess program. It is just a beautiful reminder that sometimes programming is not about enterprise architecture or AI agents. Sometimes it is just about making a computer do something seemingly impossible, just for the fun of it.
I highly recommend checking out the source code for that one. It is a work of art. And that is all we have for you today on HNPod.
Thank you so much for joining us for episode 420. We hope you enjoyed the deep dives.
If you want to read any of the articles or join the discussions, you can find all the links on Hacker News. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from the tech world.
Until then, keep shipping and maybe double-check those AI-generated compliance docs.
See you tomorrow.